Judges chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading with verse 23 and continue reading through verse 31. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, your enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. And then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson while he performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. You know, we find today in our society, people don't like to talk about sin. They don't like to make mention of things that are going wrong, things that are happening that is contrary to even morality, much less God's word. And so what we have done in our society is we have made things sound better. We take the word abomination. Now we know that the Lord has abominations that he fills with sin that people commit. And they call them accidents. We take the word wickedness and we call it weakness. We take the word sin and we simply call it a slip-up. You know, if you listen to any of the TV preachers on the TV and radio today, you'll never hear them use that word. They won't use the word sin or wickedness or evil or anything like that. They're just going to tell you how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Send me money. That's basically what they do. But we call wickedness weakness, sin, slip-up. Iniquity, we call it an indiscretion. You know, until we begin seeing sin the way God sees it, instead of the way Satan advertises it, we will lose the reality of what sin is and what it does and what it can do to you. If we don't see this difference, it's going to cost us so much more than what we realize. Y'all have heard me say this before. In fact, I have a sermon on this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Tonight, I want to take a look at this high price of sin. And I use the character Samson, and I think it's a perfect example of what he allowed sin to do to him throughout his life. You know, we read of Samson in Judges chapters 13 through 16, only three chapters about him. But we learn so much about this character and how he allowed himself to be manipulated with this little word called sin. The first thing I want to suggest to you, what sin did to Samson, it cost him his sight. We read in Judges chapter 16 in verse 21 that the Philistines took him and put his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Now, I'm going to suggest to you, my friends, that just as Samson was blinded by these people and just basically had his life taken from him, many people today are blinded by Satan. They can't see the harm that Satan and sin does to them. You know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Those minds whose the God of this age has blinded so that they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. Sin blinds us, folks. It takes away our ability to think for ourselves, to act for ourselves, to be rational with ourselves. And in most cases, we surround ourselves with things of this world, the luxuries and the things in this life that we think that are so important to us, that are actually evil for us, and things that are basically going to destroy us, not only spiritually, but perhaps physically as well. We put these vices into our lives and thinking that they're going to give us so much pleasure and so many good things can come to us. You know, when you watch the alcohol commercials on TV, they never show you the man laying in the gutter. They'll show you the people are having a good time drinking and living it up. And we use it as a vice because that's what we think is going to happen to us. And we take these vices of alcohol, of drugs, of pornography, and other things like them that we think is so wonderful, and it's a great part of our lives, but yet and still it is destroying us day by day by day, just eating away at our physical bodies and eating away at our soul. Here it calls Samson his sight. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? You say we look to make the changes in what God has given us that is good for us and replace it with things that we know will destroy us. Sin will also blind us to the consequences that are bound to happen to us when we follow worldly things. You know, Paul says it best, and you've read this, you've said this yourself from the scripture, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And you know, there's no option to that. The wages of sin, it's not saying it could be death or it might be death. The wages of sin is death, period. And unfortunately, he's not talking about physical death here. He's talking about spiritual death, where your soul will die in hell for eternity. Sin blinds us to the beauty of holiness. Psalm 27, verse 4. You know, David, he had such a wonderful way of telling us what true beauty is. One thing I have desired of the Lord, he said, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. You see, David knew where the good things come from. He knew where to find the things that are holy, the things that are righteous, the things that are sweet. And it comes from God, not from man, and not from the sin that we so want to possess ourselves with. Samson tried to hold on to these worldly things. And we'll get into more of that as we go through this lesson. But it cost him his sight. Secondly, sin cost Samson his freedom. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him. Well, we've read this already. Put out his eyes, brought him to Gaza, bound him, and put him to work grinding in a prison. Now, if you can't visualize this, we had a grinding wheel at my grandfather's farm. He used to manufacture sorghum for molasses. And it was a very large thing. It was about twice the size of this podium here. And it had two very large wheels on the inside of it. And at the top, there was a connection with a long pole that stretched out about 10, 12 feet, which we tied a mule or a horse to. And that horse would walk around in a circle. Those wheels would grind, and we would feed corn stalks into those wheels, and it would crush the corn stalk, or it was a sorghum stalk, and create the juice that makes syrup for sorghum molasses. Now, multiply that site by about 10, these huge grindstones, with that same rod moving from the middle, and Samson is on the end of this, and he is pushing this rod around and around in a circle. Grain is fed and being crushed to create flour or meal or whatever it is they made in those days. That's what he was doing now. Sin had bound him to that point. He is no longer a free man. Sin has enslaved him. It has cost him his freedom. Jesus speaking in John chapter 8, verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, Paul describes this slavery in great detail in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether to sin leading to death, or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you were presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, now you present yourselves members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Before Christ, we were bound to sin. We were slaves to sin. It had control over us. We would find ourselves in sinful activities that we did not want to walk away from at first. And now that we can't walk away from it, or feel that we can't walk away from it, look at what it has done to you. It will promise you freedom. It will promise you liberty, but it will simply bring you bondage. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. This sin not only will cause you to make the mistakes that you make, but it will bind you where you can't get away from it. That's what it did to Samson. Now he's bound to a machine grinding corn, and he has lost his freedom. Third thing, Samson's sin caused him his strength. We know Samson's strength came from his hair because he was a Nazarite. He had taken the Nazarite vow. And one condition of the Nazarite vow is that no blade will ever touch your head. Your hair will grow long. We read in verse 19 of Judges chapter 16. She, this is talking about Delilah, she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Sin has now done its job. Samson has put himself in a place where he did not need to be, with a person who he did not need to be with, and the result was the fact that he had lost now what God had given to him. You see, sin will weaken you. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly, and many sleep, simply because they have lost the strength that they need to work and live for the Lord." Sin certainly weakens us spiritually. Sin will also often weaken us emotionally and physically. I mean, look at the drunkard. You know, I never will forget, several years ago, we went to Sylvester for a birthday party. And on the way home from that birthday party, we had a flat tire. And I had to pull over into a little convenience store there, and I found out later on that that was probably the worst part of Sylvester to have a flat tire in. And so I called. Philip was not with me. He was still at the party with his friends. And I called Philip and said, "I have had a flat tire and I need help. Where are you?" And I told him where I was. It wasn't 2 minutes. They come screaming up in a truck, and Philip's friend jumps out of the car and says, "Boy, you picked a place for a flat tire." We were being watched by some people at a house just right next to this convenience store. And lo and behold, while they were trying to change the tire, and I'm going to tell you, I have never seen a flat tire change that fast in my life, because they were trying to get us out of there. But there was an old man who walked up, and he was going to help change that tire. The only problem was he had trouble putting one foot in front of the other, because he was about as, in Alabama we say, drunk as a skunk. This old boy was drunk as a skunk, let me tell you. And he was back, Philip was the one trying to get the wheel off while Ben was trying to take the lugs off the wheel. And there this old guy was behind him, and he was going, and he was going to grab that tire from Philip when Philip pulled it off the wheel of the car. Pat was in the car, said, "Get in the car, roll the windows up." That was a very fearful moment for us, I'm going to tell you. But you know, that old man had brought himself to a condition to where he couldn't even walk straight. Now, he was trying to be helpful, but he couldn't, because he had lost his physical ability, because that's what alcohol does to you. We have to be careful with what we allow the physical things of life to do to us, because it can destroy us physically. And here's something else. The physical problems of life can destroy the mind, and it can destroy the spirit. This is what has happened to Samson. He has allowed all of these things. He's allowed Delilah. He has allowed the love that he felt for her, and the situation that he was in. He allowed all of these things to destroy him physically, and he lost his strength. And the next one is even more important. Because of his sin, Samson lost his self-respect. Now, here he was, no doubt, probably the strongest man on earth. And now he is tied to a stick, going around in a circle, turning a grindstone. Verse 25 of our text. "So it happens, when their hearts were merry, they said, 'Call for Samson that he may perform for us.' So they called for him, and he performed for them." See, now he's a puppet. He's like a monkey behind the bars. He's a showpiece. Not because he's famous and because he's great, but because he has been worn down. And now he's just a puppet in the hands of the people who control him. He has lost his self-respect. Now, friends, when you lose your self-respect, there's not much else left. And this has happened Samson. You know, God has always intended for us to have it better than this. When God put man in the Garden of Eden, he did not intend for man to sin and to bring sin upon the world. He intended for man to have a paradise, a wonderful life. But you see, that's what sin can do to you. It can tear you down. You know, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, "Now my little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed." I don't know about you. I have done things in my life that I'm actually ashamed of. I guess we all have. And you know, that's a horrible feeling, to feel shame for something that you have done to yourself or that you have done to someone else. And I can just imagine Samson as he walks into that temple, and he walks out there, and the people see him and they start screaming and yelling for him, "Perform for me, do something, be a show." You know, that had to be a shameful sight. But here was a man who was great for God, a judge of Israel, and now he is down to this. Then finally, Samson's sin cost him his life. In verse 30 of our text, it says, "Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and on the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death was more than he had killed in his life." Again, Paul says it clear. The wages of sin is death. Friends, if you're driving down the road in an automobile and you're going 60, 70 miles an hour, and about 20 feet away from you, a car pulls over into your lane for a head-on collision, I'm sorry, there are no brakes on a car that are going to stop you. There is no steering wheel on a car that's going to turn you. You're fixing to meet your maker. And there's not a seat belt or an airbag or anything that's going to stop that, because the laws of physics apply to regardless of who you are when that happens. And the same thing is true with sin. If your life is not in Christ today, your wages is death. And there is no other option. There's nothing else that you can do to avoid it, other than Jesus Christ. James tells us that this is the end result. James 1:15. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And again, it don't say it could bring death. It might bring death. It brings death. Now, those of us who are alive, we've never experienced that before, so we really don't have a full understanding of what that means. But we have laid people in the ground who has already been there. And the result has always been the same. And it will never change. The wages of sin is death. Now, sinners will experience this death. And I want to read to you, and this will be my last verse for the evening, from Revelation chapter 21, because John here gives us a long list. Yeah, pretty long list of those who can expect these wages. Cowardly, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, and that covers a big umbrella of area, guys. Sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. They shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this isn't a suggestion that this could happen. This is what's going to happen. And if you find yourself in this category or another category that is brought upon you because of sin that you have committed in your life, this is the end. This is the result. And there's no excuse. There's no way out except Jesus Christ. My friends, Samson found out the price of sin is high. It was high for Samson, and it's high for you and me. The price, death, eternal death. But there is a happy part to this story. Salvation is free. Jesus went to the cross and paid a price that you and I should never have to pay. And we can have that hope, that salvation, and we can be free from the sin that can so easily beset us. And it's ours for the asking. So tonight, my friends, if you are outside of Christ, you can have that salvation today by obeying the gospel. And you can put these trinky little things that come from the world out of your life, because they're not going to help you anyway. And child of God, if you have cast your Christianity aside because of some of these little trinkets of sin, you need to understand they're not going to take you very far. I think Jesus put it where rust and moth does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Things of this world, things of sin, do not last. And all they're going to do is eat away at your soul. And you need to put them aside and give your life back to the Lord. Samson learned this the hard way, and it cost him all of these things. Don't let these things happen to you, but give your life to the Lord today. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.